friends and fess. Good friends and fess. Good friends and fess. Good friends and fess. Good friends and fess.
Welcome everyone to episode 29 of Good Friends and Fess. 29, almost over the hill. This is the last good episode we have in us. And we've got Fez here.
Jesus.
Fez?
Yep. I'm here.
All right, I'm Stephen.
I'm Lee.
I'm Lexus.
And I'm Fez.
Fucking the energy. Let's kick it off, man.
General Ginger!
What was that?
What was that moan for, Fez?
You don't moan during the introduction, the most energetic introduction given in this whole podcast. You don't bring it down like that.
That's what hypes me up every episode.
Yeah.
You're
just like, oh man, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this podcast.
I'm tired of this. It's just because it's a Friday evening. I want to relax.
That's party time.
Yeah.
Friday.
Exactly.
Party.
It's a time to curl up with a good book at home.
Bess, how long has it been since you've been on this podcast?
Two fortnights.
And you're already
so 4 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from Fez. Yeah, anyone got some good chit chat?
Was that your chit chat?
No.
Was that you attempting to make conversation?
Well, what do you got for us then? What are you bringing to the table? So far, this episode's been off to a fucking amazing start.
Not really much.
Yeah, not surprising.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Right. Somebody save us.
What do you guys think about all these like Facebook movies and
this
things
is a good
that
one.
Are like
I like it
automatically like, generated using photos and stuff, and then people put them up online.
So pretty much just an automatic slideshow.
Yeah,
there's the ones that say like your most liked status is this.
That's the Facebook movies ones. Doing the rounds at the moment.
There's also the Flippagram or whatever it is, which is like the slideshow one that you choose some music for.
I haven't looked into it too much. Do you have control as to when it's released, or is it just put up on your wall?
No, the Facebook movie one basically looks back over your entire history, pulls up all the most important things, and makes a slideshow out of it.
Yeah.
Then there's another one that Steven's talking about where you choose your own photos and put
that
to music. Flippagrams, you choose it yourself.
Okay. Yeah, because I haven't done either of them.
Yeah, me either. I've seen on people's wall, and I was like, what is this? I just see a collage of different things and a play button.
I see people use them a lot for like birthdays and things like that. And it probably looks like you put in a little bit more effort, but I would never do it.
I just recently had one done for my birthday.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it because it was about me. But I knew that everyone else watched, like looking through their feed and seeing that come up, they'd be like, I'm not even going to watch that.
Of course
even if I'm a close mate, I'm
not
going
to watch it. I consider myself a very good mate of yours. But I've seen those pictures before, and I don't need to hear them over
Does it have a music or song throughout, or is it just silent?
It's silent. It's the most boring thing ever.
It's white noise. It's not silent. It's just a gentle hum of a fluoro.
It's just someone whining. It's like,
that would be great, actually. If you can pick the noise, you just pick crickets. And it's just like, well, this is your life. It's just you doing these boring ass things.
Yeah.
Just end with a picture that says, what a sad life.
Every favourite status is anyone up to anything tonight? Yeah. Who's out at this restaurant? Anyone down at Westfield?
Yeah, that would be so awkward if like something serious had happened to someone in your family. It's like most liked status is like
yeah. At the hospital?
Yeah. Granny passed away today.
Rest in peace, Grandpa.
Yeah.
That would actually legitimately probably get a lot of
likes. It'd probably get a lot of likes.
I don't get that though when people like
it's weird.
Yeah. Like, there should be a condolence button. There should be like,
it gets too
like,
far,
dislike and condolence.
Should be 50 buttons.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not like, just like.
Yeah,
you know,
what actually, like a hungry button? Like, how many buttons you gonna get?
I'd tap that button.
Yeah.
Grandpa died. I'd tap that.
Yeah, what is your opinion on them, bro? Aside from the one that you selfishly indulged in.
Well, that's a good one. But I might watch someone really close, but after hot. Yeah. You're like, oh, sick, look at this. But then you just see it become more and more popular. And you're like, I'm not going to watch any of these.
Yeah.
So when you do click the play button, you get some like...
It's just a movie, man.
Yeah, I watched the first one. I watched whatever the first one was. And I was like, oh yeah, I see what they did there. Even if they're hot, it's like, I'll just Facebook stalk them. Yeah. Look at the pictures I want to look at. Yeah,
I don't want to see your trips to Canada. I want to see your trips to the bathroom.
Exactly, bro. But yeah. And the Facebook thing is just, oh shit, the Slipogram thing's popular. We should get on board with that. And what can we do that's a little bit different?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I'm assuming Flipogram is like Instagram of that, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just photos to music. Yeah. 3 seconds a piece. Put that together for 60 seconds and that's what it is.
Yeah. Imagine like when you go around to your uncle's house after he's been to America, but condense it from 3 hours to 60 seconds. That's what it is.
That would be good.
That would save life. That would be amazing.
Other people in slideshows.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Boring.
Some slideshows I've watched. 10 different pictures, like 10 different views of the same scenic picture with nobody in it doing anything funny. Not even a person in it. Nah. Not even a coyote in it. Just a blank landscape. I'm like, bro, my wallpaper is better than this.
Yeah, I can't stand family like slideshows. Like you put up with them with family, but I watched a family wouldn't like friends of a different family. I was there for some reason watching this lady's pictures. Oh, it was mind numbing. I just wanted to take a gun and shoot myself in the mouth. And it was just like you said, the same thing over and over again. They even took pictures of the clouds from inside the plane.
I hate those. You see those, I'm like, exactly. It's like people have never been on a plane before, man. It's like, oh, look how small everything is from up here. It's like, yeah, man, that's how planes work. They get up high.
And there was like 30 pictures of them.
Oh, God.
You can't say anything, but I'm just screaming inside. I just want to flip the table. I'm out of here.
You can't. Leave, though. I just go outside and just do something else. Like, even no one else is sitting outside.
So it's just you and this one person who's come back from their holiday. You just get up and walk outside and just stand there.
I should. But no, I've never been in that scenario. It's usually like a family gathering or something. It's like, hey, guys, guess where we came back from? I wouldn't mind if it was 20 pics.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine.
Cut it. Cull it. Top 20 pics.
Yeah.
And I want to see drunken photos, not just because, you know, like, I'm a lad. I just like, it's fun to see people you've met throughout your travels, not like the postcard picture that everyone's seen before.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen the Eiffel Tower. Not everyone in the world's been there, but everyone's seen it. It's the same in every picture.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I haven't met bloody so-and-so from Guatemala.
Fucking
show me a picture of him.
They look
loose. Nice shirt.
Get him vomiting over the Eiffel Tower.
Those are the worst. It's like, here's the Colosseum. It's like, okay, nobody's even in this fucking picture.
Yeah. No.
I've seen the Colosseum a lot.
Mm.
Like, you aren't the first people. You didn't discover the Colosseum.
It's just tucked behind this deli. It's, like, it's this small little quaint, bloody violence hole.
Well, just, we ran into it. I don't even know how.
Speaking of violence holes.
Oh, what porno have you been watching?
The violence hole.
We'll discuss that on Good Friends up late. But this one is in regards to, you guys know George Zimmerman? The guy who shot and killed that black guy. What was his name?
Trayvon Martin.
Trayvon Martin. It was like a big controversy. It was kind of like the black community got really...
Was he a cop?
No, it was like a...
Security guard?
He's a community watcher.
Community watcher.
Yeah.
So community watcher. Yeah, quite recent. Like last year, I'll say. Anyway, this guy, George Zimmerman, he got acquitted. And it was self-defense.
Stand your ground, whatever they call the laws in Miami.
Exactly. So self-defense.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just need to set the scene for this guy. Because this guy and DMX are now going to have a celebrity boxing match.
What? Really? That's no joke.
That's not a joke.
Yeah, no.
On PBS or something. What? A celebrity boxing match.
How is he a celebrity? He just killed someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And DMX is obviously quite an advocate for the African-American community, as you'd imagine.
Is he African-American?
DMX.
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh.
You're thinking of BMX. That's a bicycle.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of.
We're talking about humans.
I thought a bicycle was going to fight a guy.
Yeah. That would be very greasy.
That would be hard to sell tickets to.
It would.
Yeah. But moving on. Anyway, this is... And there's a quote from DMX that I wanted to read to you guys about this. So it wasn't the bike that said this. It was the person that said this, just so we're clear. He said... Well, first, Zimmerman said something to the effect of, prior to the incident, I was actually going to the gym for weight loss and doing boxing-type training for weight loss. And then he's like, a mutual friend put him in contact with this, and it gave him his motivation to get back in shape. Okay. That was his reason for going to this boxing fight.
Yeah.
DMX's. I'm going to beat the living fuck out of him. I am breaking every rule in boxing to make sure I fuck him right up. Once I'm done with him, I'm going to whip my dick out and piss on him right in his motherfucking face.
Wow. Oh, I like the energy.
Yeah. I like the intensity. Yes.
My question is, should this have ever gone ahead? Like, is this the worst thing that's ever happened on reality TV?
My Kitchen Rules is pretty terrible.
But this has got to be, like, whoever's brainchild this is.
But the thing is, everyone wants to watch. I want to watch that.
Yeah, there's going to be.
I'll watch that.
I know, but. And there's I feel like I shouldn't, but I will too. Mm.
I reckon they would have been like, yeah, we're getting George Zimmerman to. In this celebrity thing, I reckon so many people would have signed up to fight him.
Yeah, the game said he would as well, but DMX got it. Like, I think like every rapper, but it's just ridiculous, man.
It is pretty silly.
Well, what's going to happen if George Zimmerman beats DMX?
Awesome. How old is DMX?
DMX is getting on, but George Zimmerman's not that. But DMX is still fucking fit.
Oh, yeah. But, just saying, I'm worried that they might have given George Zimmerman a good chance that he could pull it off.
Don't know.
Is he a big lad? Is he inclined to boxing?
Lad. He's a big lad, but he doesn't look fit.
No, he's not.
He's doing gas easy, I reckon, man.
Yeah.
But then again, age is against DMX. He could gas as a.
All right. So now we're just promoting the shit.
Pretty much. That's why they made it. That is marketing in a nutshell. You've got four kids from South Australia. It has nothing to do with this case, the country that's involved in, the people in it, talking about it on their chosen podcast.
I mean,
this
right.
is our spare time, and we are talking about it.
I haven't
This
heard
is what it. We do for recreation.
I don't know this George Zimmerman guy. I barely know who DMX is. I'm probably going to watch this.
Yeah.
I'll be heaps interested.
It will be very interesting. But I'm scared, man.
What date is it?
Oh, here you go. March 1st. March 1st is the fight.
March 1st? Okay.
Yeah.
That's heaps close.
Yeah. What did you say? It was fucking years away. All right. Well, anyway, that segues well into my segment, which is... what? DMX Spirits. So, DMX, Lexus, I know you barely know who the guy is.
Represent DMX.
This is going to be a role play segment. What's going to happen is I'm going to say a scenario based on a popular DMX song. One person's going to play DMX. The other person's going to play another person that's also in the scenario. Are you following me so far?
I was fighting with Fizz under the table.
He's kicking my leg.
Okay. Lee.
I think so.
We'll start.
Okay.
So what we do is I will... I'll start off as DMX to show Lexus my poor interpretation of his mannerisms.
Okay.
It's going to be like Chinese whispers, because I'm going to poorly impersonate DMX, and then by the time we get the Lexus, it will sound like Willy Wonka or some shit.
Probably.
But anyway, let's go. So, Querbs, are you familiar with the song X Gonna Give It To You?
Yeah.
All right. Good, because that's the name of the scenario, but it has nothing to do with the scenario whatsoever, except for the fact that it allowed me to come up with a scenario where DMX is a courier. And I'm arriving at your suburban door.
As DMX?
As DMX.
All right.
It would be weird if I wasn't. The whole segment is about someone being DMX. Anyway.
This is going to be very interesting.
I'm DMX. You're receiving a package. Let's go. Scene, shall we? Right. And I'll just go end scene. Okay. Be about a minute.
I'm sitting in my lounge. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So I rock up.
Improv again. Dun,
yeah.
Dun. Oh, that's it.
What the fuck was that?
Did it in your scene.
All right.
Get out of our scene.
All right. And starting. Knock, knock. Open up the door. It's Ryu.
Oh, better get that. You just stay here.
I got the pump gun. I got the pump shotgun with the pump, pump, pump.
Can I help you?
What?
Oh, I said, can I help you?
What?
I'm sorry. Have you got a problem? We don't have any dogs here. That's right.
The dog X is going to give it to you.
What? Sign at the X? Oh, this X. is the postage. Oh, I got it. Okay, where do you want me to sign? Where's the X?
Do you think this is a motherfucking game? Do you think this is a fucking game?
Not at all. I just want to get the package. Unless it is a game. Are you all right? Do you need a glass of water? Do you need a glass?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I think he wants to... Margaret!
Yo, where are your dogs at? Where are your dogs at?
Oh, they're locked out the back. Don't worry, you'll be fine. Last time a postman got attacked was about 2 months ago.
Yeah, fuck that dog up. That's what I did.
Oh, now... No, you didn't. Did you?
Yeah.
That's not on, mate. Who are you? Who do you work for?
What?
I said, who do you work for?
Rough Riders!
I'm going to write an angry letter to Rough Riders Courier as you've insulted
me. X
going to
give it to you. X going to give it to you.
Give me the package and get out of my doorstep.
Here's a fucking package.
Thank you, Neil. Get out of here. Margaret, get the phone book. I'm ringing Rough Riders.
Sick.
Wow, okay.
I assume you did well, man.
All right, so let's move on to the next scenario, shall we?
All right.
Lexus, you don't have to play DMX yet.
Good.
So you got one more chance to hear what DMX is like.
Yeah, I've just
got
to learn his mannerisms. How? Then I shall become him.
Did you pick those up that time?
All right, it's growling at people.
Yeah.
It's saying, what?
Yep.
A lot. It's saying, Rough Rider. It's saying, I'm going to give it to you. No, I can go from there.
Yeah.
That's five. I'll just repeat through them.
You can say other words. It doesn't have to all be quotes.
Can you?
Yeah.
I'm just going to quote. I'm just going to quote and growl.
All right, fuck it. Let's go to the next one. So the next one is... All right, let's go with the rain. So DMX has a song that goes, now I know only I can stop the rain. So you've got to convince Lee, being DMX, that he actually can't stop the rain. It's raining in the scene. It's raining in the scene. Let me set it for you. You're in a street. It's raining. Go.
God damn, my jacket's getting wet. Ha! Ha! God damn, I'm gonna stop this rain. Come here, drop. I caught you. Now I throw you on the ground.
Well, listen, sir. I've got to stop you right there because I don't think you can stop the rain. Maybe an umbrella could stop it around you.
How you gonna stop me from stopping the rain, fool?
Well, I'm not going to, but...
Ha!
But it's a big old cloud, isn't it, DMX? It's quite large, isn't
wow.
it?
Wow!
Well,
what?
Well, you see what's up in the sky there?
Like, I don't look up in the sky! I put people in the ground!
Now, DMX, you're not saying you can stop the rain everywhere, are you?
Hell yeah, I stopped the rain!
Oh, DMX.
I stopped the rain in the plane in Spain!
Now I sound like Muhammad Ali.
I float like a butterfly, sting like a bee!
DMX, I don't know how you construct some massive rain-stopping device, but I don't think anyone's that rich.
It's called a 9mm, and I got 16 of these motherfuckers in the chamber. Enough to blow every motherfucking cloud out of the sky.
DMX, I just can't talk to you. I said I can't talk to you.
I can't hear you. It's raining. I'm trying to stop it so I can hear you. Hold on.
Stop shooting your pistol. It's dangerous.
What? I can't hear you. I'm shooting my pistol.
People are dying. DMX.
And the word die wet. Die dry.
That's it.
Is this what's happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
I must say that sounded like Mr. T, yeah. The King Muhammad Ali.
I liked it. I think the segment's going well. Let's go Rough Riders Anthem. So you're trying to convince Fez, you're convincing DMX here that his lyrics aren't appropriate to perform in a primary school assembly.
All right.
So you're both, okay, the scene is you're at the stage, you're about to come on DMX, he's the principal of the primary school, trying to get you to, like, do the radio edit.
Yeah, Rough Riders, going on stage, yeah, boy, got 2 9mm right here.
Wait, yeah.
What are you hunky-headed bitch? Get out of my face, get back to the man.
DMX, now you're going to be performing on stage.
What?
You're going to be performing on stage.
Yarr, matey. I'm a pirate, you see.
Now this is primary school.
I don't need this shit, I'm DMX.
Now
I got a bunch of 9mm. I got some friends backstage.
DMX and the Rough Riders. Now you're performing.
The Rough Riders. Ruff ruff ruff.
Now wait, you're gonna be performing on stage.
What?
You have to watch your language. And watch
okay. Yeah. Get out of here. Let me go on stage, boy. I don't need this shit from you.
Hey.
Check my back pocket, boy. There's a 9mm in there.
Watch your tone.
I should point out that he doesn't often talk about 9mm. Quirms work that into his set.
But hey, it's how you interpret the character.
Alright. It's not like he's like, I've got a 9mm.
Now, watch your tone. You speak out again. Hey, you won't be allowed to perform.
Don't tell me what to do. You.
They're going to kick him out first.
Yeah.
Ain't well, no, let's see how that goes. Rough riders out.
Alright, that's it. You're not performing.
Get me on stage. I'm getting on stage. Hey, everybody, yeah!
Hey, and stop. Fez, you're DMX here.
Yeah.
And I'm a cop, and this is based on the song One More Road to Cross. So you're DMX. Mm-hmm. We're on a street again. He's from the streets. That's why so many scenes are set on the streets. And, let's go, man.
And you go. Too far from the traffic lights. Can't make it. I'm gonna cross this motherfucking street.
Excuse me.
What, motherfucker?
Sir, you... I'm going to have to give you a ticket if you cross there. I'll give you a warning this time, sir.
Fucking pig. I'm crossing this fucking street.
I'll have you know I'm not a swine. I am a human being, sir, and I expect to be treated like one.
The traffic lights are too fucking far. I'm crossing the street. Why ain't you telling anyone else off?
Write a letter to the council, we'll see what we can do about that. But for now, please don't.
Fuck the council, I'm with the fucking Rough Riders!
The Rough Riders have no jurisdiction in this area, I'm afraid, sir, so don't make me happy. Stop spitting on me, please.
I'm fucking crossing these. crossing this road! You ain't stopping me! I'm crossing!
Embassy, DMX runs across the street. And done.
Well done.
Like, learned DMX has got a lot of issues he needs to work out there. Mainly went across the street.
Yeah, the thing about DMX is he is a person that could fuck us all up.
Yeah.
Probably.
So, we love you.
Hey, I'll be going for him against George Zimmerman.
Alright. He won't come and bash us now. Now that he knows he's got your support.
Yeah,
so.
Fez is in his corner, buddy. So yeah. We're safe.
Yeah.
No, I feel that's a weight off my shoulders.
Yep. DMX.
Speaking of boxing, though, which is a type of sport.
It is a type of sport. And that's a type of segue that leads us into the next segment. My segment is called... Oh, that's a bit the shitty Sochi. Nothing about Italians at all in this one. The Winter Games coming up in Russia, in Sochi, which is a town I'd never heard of before the Winter Olympics came to it. Mm-hmm. And obviously sporting events bring a lot of focus to a town, and I think Russia, well, not the town Sochi, but the entire country of Russia, is a bit of under scrutiny at the moment as to some pretty horrific social things they do over there. And the Winter Games has highlighted that.
This podcast is getting a lot more serious already.
It is. That's because Lee's here. Right? He's been away for a while, but he's been reading books. He's been learning things on the interwebs.
Good.
And so I've discovered, yes, Russia is not a very liberal place at all. And yes, they've got the Winter Games there, all right? So that must mean that the sporting events around the world can be put in some pretty terrible places. Now, I know all you guys are pretty good at...
Call Russia terrible.
Well, some of the stuff they do isn't too good. I've seen some pretty atrocious things.
Yeah, there's that homophobia thing coming out at the moment.
Yeah, that's
against it.
Yeah. I know, but I don't think everyone in Russia is homophobic.
No, not everyone, no. But when their president is quite outrightly...
Yeah, all right. Yeah. No one thinks Putin's the best man in the world.
Yeah, not a lot of freedom of speech over there either. The
does
old...
anyone outside of Russia think he's the best guy in the world?
Anyway, yes, back to the segment. what I'm going to do is, each one of you, I'm going to give you a country and I'm going to give you a sporting event, all right? Now, the country is going to be one that's been in some pretty bad situations as of late, and I want you to explain why that event would be really good in the particular place I'm going to give you. Okay?
I'm with you.
You with me?
Yeah.
You with me, Stephen? Are you with me so much that you want to kick this off in the ball sack? The NHL Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Is that the championship? Dan?
Yeah, that's their big thing.
That's the big thing. That's the Super Bowl of hockey.
That is the Super Bowl of hockey. Yeah, yeah.
Nobody cares about field hockey, so.
No one cares about except field hockey. Except for India. It's for the week. Ice hockey, NHL Stanley Cup 2015 is going to be held in East Sudan. Hey!
Okay.
Now sell that to me. I've got a lot of money. I want to travel.
I know.
Why should I go there?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking not a lot of ice in East Sudan.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, let me tell you, that is not at all an issue. Because what there is a lot of is aid. Like, aid what? From...
No, you can't, if you add an extra letter to this, this podcast gets shut down.
I can confirm there is a lot of
holy
aid.
Shit.
It's almost plural aid over there.
There's definitely not plural. Well, there may be, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about from, like, charities. This did not go the way I expected it to, but let me recover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So as a result of that, there's lots of food and stuff like that.
Lots of food. Lots of rations.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, it's not always being evenly distributed. Sometimes it goes off before it can be distributed type thing. Like, the water and stuff, they've got... Water doesn't really go off, but they've got it in, like, big warehouses. They're not shipping outright.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bit of corruption going on.
Yeah.
But the benefit of the surplus of water is... What do you do with water? You freeze that shit up, make ice. So what you could do at as a low cost option is get all this free water.
Yeah.
Because water's water's expensive, bro. Yeah. Yeah, but this is clean ass water. So you're gonna have a pristine, like, Mount Franklin base.
Oh, then where are you getting this pristine Mount Franklin base water from? Oh,
from the aid.
From
the aid. From aid. From aid. From aid by itself. Singular aid.
Singular aid.
More than one country is giving aid.
No, there's just one aid.
So all this water
is coming via aid
from numerous aid.
No, one aid. One lot of aid is where all the water is coming from.
From Australia and America, two of them.
Anyway, so you've got that going for you. Another thing you got going for you is, let's face it, NHL. A lot of white people in that sport.
Yeah,
you want to diversify that shit. Mm-hmm. East Sudan's the place to be.
Yeah,
and you know, you'd probably be able to make a Disney movie out of it. Because
you're just thinking Cool Runnings.
I am thinking Cool Runnings now.
All
right. I'm thinking, what happens when you put people of an African descent in a scenario with a snow sport?
Yeah,
from a country that where there isn't snow sport. Hilarious. This hilarity is what ensues.
Add a pinch of John Candy and you get some cracker film right there.
Well, if he wasn't dead.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
See how big that guy was?
Yeah.
I didn't know he died.
You thought John Candy was still alive. What do you think he'd been doing for the past 15 years?
Eating.
The same thing he'd been doing eating for the last 15
years. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
So anyway, John Candy's dead. That's part of this sales pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got aid, singular.
Yep.
That's helping a lot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Water-wise,
yeah,
great times.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's brilliant. This year, the NHL will be using all of the water sent to Eastern Air to make the best fucking ice hockey pitch the world has seen.
Many starving kids will miss out on their water for the day. We'll have some top-notch ice.
No, you can. But the beauty of ice is you can reuse that shit. After it's done, then they melt it down.
Yeah.
The kids get a freaking free swimming pool.
Woo.
So you actually give them aid back again.
Yeah.
That's another set of aid, but still singular amount of aid to the kids. And they can drink and swim, and they'll be like somewhere famous. Let's not face it, it's going
to
pump economy into the system.
Yeah, all right.
It's going to pump aid into the system.
Tourist buck.
You have to scrape all the blood of the hockey players off the top before you like turn it back into water.
Bit of extra water.
Bit of water.
Well, that was just how I expected it. It crept near the border, it stuck its toe in, but it didn't quite go over. Now, Fez, you'll probably fuck this up royally.
Are you going to take the hockey there?
Am I going to go there?
Yeah, aren't you the bloody organiser?
Do you book a holiday the first quote you get? No, I'm going to hear the other two holidays and I'm going to pick where I want to spend my 4 weeks per year. It's a good quote, I like it, but I'm going over to Flight Centre now. All right, STA, you were good. Flight Centre.
Change Fez another letter there. Again, we have a problem.
I'm at Flight Centre now, all right?
Yeah.
You're Fez, right? You're the sales rep who's going to pitch me.
Yep.
I've just heard about this cracker deal in East Sudan. It sounds good, but I've heard a lot about the 2020 bash cricket in North Korea.
Is that
worth my time going over there?
Well... Yeah, North Korea, you're probably thinking, you know, would cricket be well liked there? And yes, it will be.
Good justification.
Yeah.
So
well,
far.
Because.
A good argument.
Yeah, reasoning.
Facts behind it.
Now, as you know, Korea generally like to build a lot of large things, i.e. buildings, structures, that not any of us outside will get to know of.
Buildings are structures, for one.
Well, get what I'm
what do you mean?
Like, super mega structures.
Do they?
North Korea has almost none of them.
How do you know? You've never been there.
Because there is some journalists who go in there.
And they have tried to build the tallest building in the world.
How did it go?
Yeah, how did that go? That's not the point. The point is...
Exactly, get back on the point.
The point is that they'll be attempting to build the biggest cricket oval in the world. Stadium.
Oh, you mean the seats?
Yeah.
It's the oval has to be regulation.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stadium.
There will be no sixes hit if it's 100
now,
games.
Now, you might be thinking the Korean people that will go watch it won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's not true either because their leader, Kim Jong-un...
Yeah,
we'll be watching, and he's an avid cricket fan. And since he's an avid cricket fan, then all the Koreans are avid cricket fans.
Wow, it's almost like Wikipedia and everything I've ever read told me elsewise. But all right,
so therefore,
he's a cricket fan.
Yep. So therefore, therefore, everyone will be enjoying the cricket, no matter how hungry they are. They'll be just wanting to just see non-stop 24 hours
Why
cricket.
Why is their hunger important?
Because they don't eat much.
What? What is that based on?
Because they have rationed food.
Mm.
They get told when to eat. Anyways, back to the point as well that as he's an avid fan of 24-hour cricket, the atmosphere will be going off non-stop, and they'll be opening the borders just this once for people outside to come in.
Full of features, just like I expected. I'm going off now to Harvey World Travel.
There you go. Welcome to our store, sir.
Oh, thank you. I like what you've done with the carpet.
I didn't even know I was a travel agency, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know,
it changed.
What can I do for today?
Well, I was just reading, the sports section of the newspaper, and I saw that the Extreme Games are going to be in rural Papua New Guinea this year, and I was wondering whether it's worth heading over.
Yes, sir, the Extreme Games, first time ever, PPG. Now, I know what you're thinking about PPG.
PNG.
Hang on, read up on my Wikipedia. Oh, now I've learnt about it.
Yeah,
Papua New Guinea. Well, Extreme Games, there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to go into place for that, a lot of ramps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're going to build that sort of stuff out of bamboo. We've all seen those towers where those guys dive off.
Yeah.
Bungee jumping and stuff. I'm assuming that's in Papua New Guinea. I've got no clue. Let's say it is.
Yeah, okay.
So you're going to have some of the most intricate looking, like half pipes and like big drops and shit.
Yeah.
Like big BMX sort of curves and shit. That's all going to be made out of these pipes. Things like that. So it's.
Pipes.
Like bamboo pipes.
Oh, okay,
and stuff,
yeah.
All wound together with a bit of twine. Yeah. It's going to look real authentic.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Now that's good. Second reason is you're like a guy who likes boobs. Don't you admit it to me?
Now. Yeah, those big memory lands.
You don't mind some boobs.
Mom, mom, mom. Yeah. It's kind of like Girls Gone Wild.
Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah.
But they haven't worn a bra for 10 years. So there is some.
Girls Gone Saggy.
Yeah, so you'll get a discount for that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be taken out of the price.
This has turned into a sex cruise now.
Another thing about the Papua New Guinea is they don't have weed, but they've got a nice selection of poisonous frogs,
okay,
which you can lick the back of and experience a range of different highs.
Okay.
So, wow. Yeah, so that'll be, like, you might have you go up to the bar and say, give us a Foster's.
Yep.
Or something on tap.
Mm.
Or you can say, give us a bit of yellow poisonous frog, please. That would be great.
What is this? What is this doing for the games?
Oh, the games on. It's all part of it. I mean, it's
all part of
the complete package.
Yeah.
Oh, there'll be sport on or something.
Well, look, I'm not going to piss fight around. That actually won me over. Yeah,
we did that.
Just having bamboo ramps tied up with like feeble vines,
yeah.
And then just a whole bunch of people sitting on the grass, licking frogs, watching Tony Hawk's do some
just break a leg,
break a leg, so, yeah, on his rickety angle filled ramp. Yeah, no, I'm going there. Sorry, guys, I'm going to Papua New Guinea. Thanks for your time, though.
That's okay.
But
it's understandable.
Spending my annual leave in PNG.
Do we give you one?
Oh, is that it? If you want.
How about, Stephen, you pick the place.
Okay.
And I'll pick the sport.
Yeah.
Sounds fair.
So we're going to take Wimbledon this year.
Okay. Okay.
You're taking Wimbledon. Where?
It's a specific where? Place.
Yeah, I know. We're changing the place.
Yeah. Right?
I know it's typically tied.
Let's take it to Afghanistan.
Tennis in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what I like about an explosive serve? Explosives! Tennis balls are left behind when Wimbledon will be played in Afghanistan. Unused grenades, brothers, is where it's at. Are you sick of these tennis games going on for hours?
Are you sick of wasting hours upon hours
of watching grunting and hitting and just endless volleys?
Well, when it's not pouring, then yes.
What?
Endless volleys. That one's up!
One fuck up at the Wimbledon Games means the tennis player is immediately out. Leaving you to sightsee.
Okay, right. So I see what you're saying. The game, yeah. You got the game for me.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the infrastructure like? Because there's been a lot of focus on infrastructure, I've noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the infrastructure going to be like in the old Afghanistan?
Really yeah, important. Well, it will be a sand court, obviously.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so traditional Wimbledon grass thrown out the window.
Yeah.
We're revamping Wimbledon for Afghanistan. It's going to be fantastic. There's a lot of bricks around. I don't know who left them. They must have just fallen from somewhere. We're going to be restacking those bad boys.
Yeah.
We're going to have two great big stands.
Dumb.
The net, actually, funnily enough, will be one of those things that catches the F-18 Hornets that when they land.
Oh,
so there's
sick.
Going to be a lot of spring back. So if you hit the net, it's not a let. That grenade's coming straight back at you.
Oh.
Meaning that this is going to be a lot more exciting than your average tennis.
Into the crowd, most likely.
Into the crowd as well.
That would literally take someone's head off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ooh, and then blow up and
yeah, the rest mind-blowing tennis.
Yeah.
Oh, quite literally.
That's it.
I like what
That's
you did it. There. I yeah, like what yeah. you're doing with the puns so far.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Is there anything else going
Keep
on?
Going.
Anything else going there?
Like, what I want to do on the side. So
sightseeing?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, you've ever sandboarded in Afghanistan?
Well, yes, I have.
Have you?
Several times, so give me something
different. Well, take my job from me. I'm going to feed my kids with fucking nosy-ass punk kids if they can take my job. No, all right, well, you know the sandboarding's amazing there, isn't it?
Give me something Steve different. Jones, give me something new.
You want something new, something different? You want something new, something different?
Yeah.
I would as well.
You would? There's two people.
We went sandboarding together, bro.
Double sandboarding. Okay.
We went sandboarding twice.
All right, so maybe sandboarding isn't the thing. You've done it before. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Have you ever been so close to dying of thirst that you've seen an oasis?
Yes, I have. I'm bored to death of that.
Did that three times, actually. Remember that trip? Times. Remember how good that was?
Yeah.
We sandboarded and got thirsty.
Yeah.
That was a good trip.
I'm close to death. You would do that three times over. Yeah. And I want new experiences, fresh ones. So lay something new on me, please. Or I'm going straight back to STD travel.
STD travel.
Oh, dear.
So, all right. You got your sandboarding. You got your mirage death scene.
Yep.
The shopping is fantastic.
Tick those boxes already. We checked those, didn't we, honey?
Done.
Yep. Go down the market.
We did. Baby boy.
Go down the market. Just get yourself a nice bit of silk.
Done that already.
And boys, if you're into the drug tourism,
I thought I was a girl.
Opium City. Opium City, a lot of poppy fields there, boys. All right, once you've licked your little kitty Fisher-Price My First Drug frogs, head over to the real deal and get some Afghan black tar heroin.
Mm. All right.
Yeah.
You're telling me so far. Yeah, I've done the heroin before, but what I haven't done before is poppy seed bagels.
Exactly.
Do they have them?
Boom. Hell yes, they do. Who do you think invented the bagels? The Danish, and a shitload of Danish people travel to Afghanistan, so they're lots
they
of bagels.
They get held hostage over there and
cook
their wares. To call it held hostel, not hostage.
Hostel,
they enjoy the place so much they want to stay. They work there. Preach
up. Held hostage.
Hostage, yeah.
You sold it.
Sold it.
I'm over for the bagels.
Done. Bagels and black tie heroin, boys. Welcome to the real life.
It's time for my segment, movie.
Wicker, wicker, wicker!
Mix-ups. So today, gentlemen, I'll give you a movie, but then I want you to work in a twist to it, which I'll also give you. Six City. So, Fez, before we were talking about Cool Runnings, so I want you to change the movie, maybe the second half of the movie.
All right.
But can you please include heroin? Go. Lay it on me.
All right. Well, in Cool Runnings, you know, at the end, with the non-heroin ending, that when
the... All right. I was confused which two, because I have seen both.
Well, you know, yeah, at the ending where they, the toboggan, you know, stuffs up, but they get up, lift it up, and carry it over the line.
Yeah.
In the heroin ending, because they are so high, and when the toboggan stuffs up, they just stay there. Where then eventually turns into a thriller because the next team go through that same track and these people haven't gotten off the slide and Switzerland is coming down and they have to get out before they get
crash into them.
Yeah, so it's like a bit of tensions. Yeah. Like, will they or won't they hit?
Yeah.
Do they hit? They take a hit of heroin.
No.
Heroin's what they do.
John Candy comes in and saves the day.
Oh, John Candy saves the day.
Back
John
from Candy the saves. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not bad, actually.
Steven, your movie is...
Scarface.
Oh, good.
Quibzy, do you have an item to mix into the movie?
A
something random. Could be anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily.
I mean.
just say a thing. Just say a various item.
I'll
that
just have to say it. You guys keep interrupting me. Fucking nail filing board. Nail filing board.
Just go.
Yep.
But it can be a thing, alright?
Yep.
Just say it now.
Nail filing board.
Is that just a nail file?
Yes, a nail file.
It's a board of it.
But by board you mean like a little bit of wood. That has the stuff.
You know what ladies use to manicure their nails.
Yeah.
Nail file. The board is superfluous.
Yeah. Is that redundant? Same board? Is there another form of...
Whichever way you want to say. A nail file.
Go with board for a challenge.
Yeah. I'm trying to work board in there.
Yeah, do it. I reckon if you scan that, it would come up with nail file board.
That sounds wrong.
It does sound weird. The board sounds weird.
Nail file. Board.
Anyway, stop stalling.
Right. Yeah, come on now.
Well, I don't know where in the story I am for Scarface. That's what's waiting.
You're
going
to be... You can choose anywhere between like the second half to the end. Okay. Maybe when he's got his power and his money and stuff. So things start hitting the fan, but it's before they start hitting the fan.
So, nail file comes into play here.
Board.
He's living the life. He's got his girl there. He gave this girl, like, his nail file board. Who plays the girl again?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm. Yeah, really?
Yeah, Pfeiffer is there. She's naked in the hot tub. He says, I got something for you. She immediately opens her mouth expecting something else. Instead, gives her the nail file board. He goes, here you go. She's like, this is fucking amazing. I've never had a nail file board this good. I've never heard anyone call a nail file board either, is what you say.
That's why she's blown away.
Yeah. Exotic. He's just like, hey, Mike, I got the fucking nail file for you. Fucking bored. And she's like, I'm bored of you, Tony. But she takes the nail file board. Because it's such a...
Yeah.
So she runs out. She, earlier in the movie than she does in the actual movie, she goes off with Tony's friend, which is actually his sister in the movie. But in this version, it's his sister and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Ooh.
So his friend is... Yeah, so they're two-timing him, and he's two-timing chicks. The friend is. Gets a bit confusing, if you know what I mean.
Damn,
yeah.
A love triangle.
Yeah.
Tony's going to be pissed.
Yeah. So
Tony's got two scars on his face from eating two pussies.
So he's like, hey, mate, that's my fucking girl. And my nail file board.
Nice.
He's like, no, we don't want you anymore. I'm keeping the nail file board. He's like, oh, you want to go fucking war? Go to war for that board, mate? And she's like, yeah, Tony, I do. So Tony gets his chainsaw out. He's like, I'll fucking clip your nails, bitch.
Wow.
Comes in there with a chainsaw, swings at her, but doesn't know that this nail file board is like a titanium board. Flicks it back, flicks back the chainsaw. Tony gets another scar on his face with the chainsaw. Blood's pissing out. He's like, fuck you, girl. Leaves. goes back to his house. He's like just sad right now. He's just like he's telling all his friends like, "Hey, I lost my girl, but I'm mostly upset about that board."
Yeah.
So
not to mention this massive.
No, he doesn't care now. He doesn't care. He's Tony. He's Tony. He doesn't give a shit about that. He cares about the board.
Care about
stay board, on topic, man. It's about the fucking board.
Get on with it, man.
Anyway, so he gets upset. He gets his fucking massive gun. Busts into their house. They're all fucking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, say hello to my little... Well, that's my fucking nail file board, bud. He puts down the gun, picks up his board. He goes off. You see him romancing the nail file board and film.
Man, a lot less death.
Yeah.
Maybe he brings it down to an M lighting.
No, he sniffs cocaine off the nail file board.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's
all about the coke.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, so the ending credits is he's looking at his board lovingly and goes, what are you doing, like, man? Lay around the house, like to meet a fucking file with you. Credits.
Taken. Oh, it's just Taken? Right.
Taken. We're going to choose Taken.
Alright.
The two of you, Stephen and Fez, come up with an idea. I was just going to say Fez, but I don't trust him.
Well, let's go Fez, and if his is shit, I'll jump in.
Alright.
So I'm ready to jump in.
Washing machine. Alright, Taken. Mix in yourself a washing machine.
Alright. Okay. So, Liam Neeson's daughter, 17, wants to see the world, goes overseas. Liam Neeson, obviously, in the movie, doesn't know about it, that she's actually gone over with just her other 17-year-old friend. She's not staying with family friends at all. So, Liam Neeson is pretty... This is the actual movie.
It's yeah, I'm actually learning something. Okay. I've never seen...
Liam Neeson's very concerned about the welfare of his daughter, so he says, here's a mobile phone, you call me once every day. She goes, I will, Dad, I will. Anyway, so they're overseas, having a great time, and then she gets very scared, and these men come in to where she's at, and she rings and says, Dad, there's people there, and he goes, okay, I want you to leave the phone on the, and then there's a massive, and the phone just cracks out. You don't get that classic monologue from Liam Neeson, you just get the phone fuzzing and cracking out. He goes, what's happened, what's happened? The girl has dropped her mobile in the washing machine.
Oh, no.
Dropped the phone.
Annoying.
In the washing machine.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Now, Liam Neeson is pissed because he left the CIA to become a sales rep for Virgin Mobile. All right. And that was his work phone. And the only reason he gave it to her is because it had global roaming and she's now fucked it up. So he sends her an email saying, I don't know where you were. I don't know what you did. If you were washing, I want to hear about it. If my phone is okay, put it under a hairdryer and dry it off. But if my phone is broken, I will come, I will find you, and I will make you pay the $79.99 for that cap fee.
Good.
And she emails back saying, good luck. And then, boom! Pissed off dad catches the first plane to hunt down his own daughter to find out where the fuck he's going to get his new business phone from.
Sounds good.
That's powerful stuff.
Yeah. I assume that was a very good play on the original.
I could give you the original.
Quite good. Maybe give us word by word the original. Now, we've got to spend 3 hours.
Yeah, fair.
Hey, listeners, you up for it? Yeah, we're up for it.
All right, yeah, all right. The original.
Sydney Mustard, you keen?
Yeah, he's keen.
You keen? Liam Neeson. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If it is money, I do not have that. But what I have are a set of skills, dangerous skills, skills that make people like me a nightmare for you. If you let my daughter go right now, I will not search for you, and I will not find you. However, if you don't, I will search for you, I will find you, and I will kill you.
Oh,
good luck. Hangs up.
How does this motherfucker not have an Academy Award?
Lee Quirvin or Liam Neeson?
Lee Quirvin.
Well, I don't know. I've been asking the Academy myself. I haven't returned my letters. So fucking...
No, that was good. You make me want to see the movie.
I can't believe you haven't seen it. It's so good.
Is there more to the story? I'm actually... I want to know the end of this story. So he goes off...
the washing machine. Yeah.
So he goes off to Europe, wherever she is.
He goes off to Europe, right? And he can't find her at all. There's no phone. She's too shit scared that, you know, she's not going to be able to afford the phone with the backpackers, you know, budget.
Yeah.
So she's running away, trying to escape him. She runs off to Eastern Europe. All right. But Liam Neeson's a very cunning man. He kind of backtracks and finds her. But through his travels, he discovers that electronics are so damn cheap
in these developing countries anyway, that he learns, what's the point of hunting down my own daughter when I can buy a Nokia 3310 for $5?
Yeah, good point. The flight alone.
The flight alone costs so much. So at the end of the day, family is more important than electronics.
Oh, it's got a moral to the story,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Might have had a moral.
For all you kids out there, just burying your face in Facebook, look up.
Yeah.
You're surrounded look up. By people who love you.
Say goodnight to your dad.
Yeah, what was your moral, Fez? Mine was like, yeah, always take care of your nail file board.
Mine was don't do heroin.
You guys are shit.
Heroin is one hell of a drug. Kids out there.
All right, Lex, should we get one for you?
Yeah,
please. All right. Oh, yeah. You got a movie?
I'm good at it. I was thinking, actually, no, I don't. No. No.
We just put your hand up to indicate that you did.
No, then I changed my mind.
Do you want to go movie or?
I've got a movie. You go up, Jack. Okay. Is that cool? Unless you got good. A movie.
No, no, no. I'm good.
All right, let's go to The Matrix.
The Matrix?
The first one. The original.
Good man. Yeah.
Let's throw a Snuggie in there.
A Snuggie in
a
there.
A Snuggie. We all remember the Snuggie,
I love
don't
Snuggies,
we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just explain for the people that may not know what
a Snuggie
is.
Yeah.
Quickly.
A Snuggie is basically like a big poncho, but it's longer and made of like really comfortable material, like a blanket, basically. And you wear it on the couch and you're like a total wanker.
Yeah. That's
it's a like good. A blanket with sleeves, pretty much.
In the movie.
So you're halfway through.
Halfway through.
He's taken the pill, chosen the pill. He's gone down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
And he's learned his skills.
Yep.
That's where we are.
Okay. He's learned his skills. Morpheus has just been kidnapped.
Okay.
Neo does not yet know he's the one. In the real world, they have these things called Snuggies, which Neo learns of. He knows the power of the Snuggie. So what he manages to do is to decode a Snuggie into like a small little pill that he's able to transmit into the Matrix. So in the Matrix, we know Neo wearing like his cool suit, his awesome like flowy overcoat that he wears. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's actually really impractical. So what he does, he puts on his pajamas and he puts the Snuggie over the top. And it turns out the Snuggie, like with all the code and stuff that's inside of it, is the most powerful thing you can have inside the Matrix. Because they've never heard of a Snuggie before. The machines have got no idea. They see this damn Snuggie come in. And they're like, hang on a second, let's give this guy massive strength and speed and stuff. So that's how he becomes the one.
I like it.
He has his Snuggie. So what he wants to do now, he's like, you know what? Forget Morpheus. This thing is really comfortable. So the entire movie turns into Neo becoming sort of some like Neo Santa Claus and ooh, just delivering Snuggies to people around the world.
In the Matrix, though.
In the Matrix, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But only his Snuggie is like the most powerful out of all of them.
Where'd the power come from?
Because the machines don't know what a Snuggie is. So when it came through the line from the real world into the Matrix, they program it into what they think it is. And they thought it was some, like, ultimate piece of clothing that grants the wearer massive strength and speed and agility.
Yeah, conversion.
And so forth, yeah. For his. And then he just, like, creates other ones that aren't as good. They're still good. So
Santa story... Claus.
Yeah, the story ends up being him being some sort of Santa Claus delivering Snuggies to the people plugged into the Matrix.
Just ends with him, like, curled up comfortably on the couch.
He just turns into a fat, lazy man.
Just watching Jay Leno.
In a Snuggie.
With a hot chocolate, just with both hands around it, going like, ah.
Yeah.
Go.
And then it just zooms out and out and out, and you see all these other people just doing the same thing on the couch in their Snuggies, just being like fat, dead shit. So then just fades like that, the green that they always use, and then black screen.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. All right, Fez, it's time for you. Bear in mind, we're running a fair bit late than usual. So let's keep it rolling, shall we?
Okay, yes, which is a lead into my segment. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. The play.
Play. Keep rolling the play.
Anyway, well, my segment is we are doing an audio play.
Oh.
So pretty much like your regular play, but all audio.
No need to describe play. That. Yeah, radio play. Radio play. People don't know what radio play is, man.
Yeah, that's
let's roll with
radio play.
It.
All right.
So I guess I'll kick it off.
You tell me, it's your fucking segment.
All right. I'm going to assign every character. Now, the setting of this is going to be a WWE match.
Yes! 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 Oh. People didn't see the... I did the chant.
Yeah.
Did the arms.
Okay. Nah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, yeah. All right. So everyone thinks of a character for the person to their left. All right?
Yeah.
Now, I will start. So, Stephen, you are going to be the ultra-Irish gingerbread man.
What?
All right, and do I have a... What's my special trait? Did you say a special trait for these?
Yeah. Yours is going to be a gingerbread stunner.
A gingerbread stunner. So it's a special move, not a trait.
Oh, whatever. That's a special move.
All right, so... All right, Querbs.
Yep.
You are the ballerina, and you're but you're a really butch ballerina.
The butch ballerina.
Yeah, you're the butch ballerina. BB, they call you. They chant BB, BBB. Sometimes they say three Bs. And your special move is the twinkle toe.
The twinkle toe.
Yeah.
All right.
Where you get them on the ground and then you gouge them in the eye with your little toe.
Right. Lexus, you are the flying wet servier. Alright?
Yeah.
And your special move is you jump from the ropes and just stick to people. Alright? You kind of creep off whilst the others finding, just rub yourself in Vaseline.
Yeah.
So you're completely wet and sticky.
I like it.
And then just jump and stick to people and they're so freaked out by it. It's almost like the boogeyman with his worms. It's
okay.
Like it's a mental finisher.
Yeah,
I like
that too.
Oh, wow.
And Fez, you are the dirty redneck. Dirty redneck.
Dirty redneck, yeah.
All right. And your attribute is you bring roadkill along with you. You've got it hanging off you. And occasionally you like throw it at some of the other people fighting in the ring. It's just roadkill. All right, so that's my
dead.
That's my special.
That's your thing.
That's your whole thing.
Yeah.
That's all you do.
That's your thing. All right. Well, as we've established everyone's character.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how to start. You start. You know the WWE better than me.
Dibbly D, it's the gingerbread man here. You can run, but you can't fucking hide, can you? This is the hardcore wrestling. That's why we swear. So, gingerbread man, I'm going to eat all your legs. I'm going to eat your legs, and you're not going to be able to do anything. I'm going to stun you. I'm going to stun you with my gingerbread stunner.
Now, hold on, gingerbread man.
Ooh.
You think you can eat my ginger? I got news for you. I will throw some roadkill in there and turn your tipsy turvy and beat you silly.
Now, hold on there. Right now. You're about to witness the BB, the Butch Barolina.
Barolina.
The ballerina.
Because you're shaped like a barrel, aren't you?
I'm a barrel of pain. I put the swan in. Swan's about to get buck wild. There, that didn't make sense. But neither does two of you in such a high caliber competition. All right, now, redneck boy, you're going to be lying on the ground. You're going to be all twinkle-toed up and down. And you, Irish gingerbread man, you're going to be gone like a fucking Guinness in a hot summer's day, boy!
Now, hold on a second there. Now, just hold on a second. It's time for the wet serviette to have a say about things, you hear? Now, I've been in the corner while you've all been saying your thing. I'm wet, I'm greased up, I'm ready to stick you all. Now, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I'm going to bring you over here.
Now,
I'm going to stick you right down
the floor. Now, who in Tennessee are you? We got
the Butch Ballerina, boy.
We got some Daisy in a ballerina outfit, Daisy. Some naked, greasy fella, and some Irish.
What are you doing naked, man? It's harder for me to eat your legs like that.
Now, can't you see my pants there, boy? Can't you see what I'm wearing down here? I know it's covered with grease, but can't you see what it's down there, boy?
Oh, so I see what this is. A 3-on-1.
3-on-1. With my guns, it's more like a 2-2, if you know what I mean. I'm the ballerina with the smartest looking dress around here. I will spin, I will kick, and I will flip all three of you badass honky too tapping. Okay. No good.
Okay. You know that the Irish, they like to they like to sound Jamaican all of a sudden. They also like to beat people up, especially their fucking wives. So, Ballerina, you dress just like my wife did on our wedding day, and I'm going to slap you around just like I did her. Well, how do you like that?
Well, interesting. I filmed a version the other day of the Nutcracker with your wife, Gingerbread Man.
Learn to fucking speak. It's not the cracker. It's not the Ballerina. Learn your English before you come back to me.
Now I'm about to clean things up, you hear? I'm a wet and I'm a serviette. That's what I'm here to do. I'm going to clean your clog, boy. Now, you need it right now. I've seen you releasing fluid all over the place, Gingerbread Man. I've had enough of that.
And barrel it.
It's easy to do. I'm going to be wiping you from back to front. That's right, boy. Ooh. Feces in your genitalia.
That's it. All right. Not too bad.
I got out of hand.
It did get out of hand.
So it worked better.
Other than that, yeah. Well, let's end this, shall we, with our... don't worry. We will announce the winner for our competition at the end of the podcast. So keep listening to see if you're that lucky winner.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the meantime, let's get to some... Tweet questions. All right. So here we are once again at the old Twitter questiones. And let's kick this off with a question from... Now, these questions both came from direct messages, so I don't know if people were starting to get private with their questions or what.
I'm embarrassed.
From The Credible Hulk at Joseph98602.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. His question is, if you had to kick Fez out of the crew, how would you do it, and what would you rename the show? Let's go with Corbs first.
How would I do it?
Yeah.
I'll just... What I'd do, actually, is I'd say, oh, left a carton of beer in the car. Fez, can you go get it? And then when he walked outside, just lock the door and pretend like he was never here, completely forget about him. And the show would be called Fresh Beginnings.
That's good.
Fresh Beginnings.
That's good.
And Friends That Are Winning.
I like it because it rhymes. And the fresh beginning of it leaves open, in my mind, to have a segment about Brett.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is good.
That's right.
I would have thought, you know, when you want to tell me to go off, it'd be nice, not just...
No, I'd be very deceitful about it. And just...
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
just fair. Lie to you.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's quite reasonable.
Well, how would you do it?
I'd leave it to a segment where Fez does as usual and doesn't come up with something. Then I'd just, quiet as a mouse, I'd get up from the table, go around the side, I'd grab you by the back of the shirt, up the top there, back of the neck, by the back of the belt, and I'd just run you straight out the door and throw you through a window and close the door, and everyone else would be looking at me in shock, and I'd be like, welcome everybody to episode one of No Fares Allowed.
We didn't throw me off the show, I did the intros, bro.
Oh, this new show.
New show. Fresh beginnings, mate. Not all about you doing the intros.
There's a bread section now.
Yes! I'm back in! So how would I kick Fez off the show? I would just drive around to Fez's house and just spray paint on his driveway. You're out. And it would, the show would be called Considerably Better Podcast. Would also have a bread segment.
Yeah.
Hey!
So Fez, how would you kick yourself off the show? And what was your rename it?
How would I kick myself off?
Yep.
I don't have anything. And not because I usually can't think of something. That's pretty cruel.
You can't think of something, can you?
Yeah.
Just say you yell at yourself in front of a mirror naked and crying. Like, you usually do on a Friday.
I'll probably, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And what would you rename it after you finished crying?
Three Lads at a Table.
Okay. So Tyson featuring, and Leroy never come back.
Featuring a special guest each episode.
Oh.
You're not going to be one of those guests ever. Just so you're out. You're out. For good.
Probably doing the Buffalo Bill and the Mangina thing.
Is there a bread segment?
Yeah, why not? Okay.
All right. Good. That's all I need to know. All right. The next question, I think this is also through a DM, is from Raphael Nowak or Novik. I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Sorry, man.
Nadal, I think.
His Twitter thing is WANHTPY. And his thing... here we go. Because he's got a pod that I also plug now. Check this out. Or it's a blog slash pod. We are not there to please you. We're not there to please you. That's what the acronym was that I read out before. So check these guys out. After you've checked us out, of course. And also check out all the Not Safe for Radio podcasts. Fez, what do you think about the Not Safe for Radio podcast?
It's a pretty good podcast.
Shut the fuck up. All right. So his question is it really that dangerous in Australia as people say? Is really everything out to kill you there? Or is that more of a myth?
Well, it's it's not that they're not there to kill you, mate. It's just that we're a lot more used to living life as tough, bloody blokes.
It's just trying to not get pulled down a funnelweb spider trap and pulled up into a tree by a damn koala bear.
That was well done by you guys. Mm-hmm. But just tying in with this, there's another question we got. This is the last question. Because it ties in, I'll just say it now as well. Viking Marbles at Viking Marbles says, are you guys going to discuss the drop bear epidemic?
Yes, well, it's particularly bad.
Let's go into those face-ripping son of bitches.
Yeah.
We're a light-hearted, fun podcast, and just genocide that has been committed by those creatures is not something you joke about.
I think everyone knows somebody at least that's lost a family member.
I feel that Americans think it's just like a fun and game type
thing. It's all a ruse.
But I mean, our goddamn family has been slaughtered by these things, and I think it's funny.
Yeah. What? It's not a fucking game.
Have you heard of these?
I'm trying to make light hearted on a dark situation. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
That's only DMX can do. So
yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm tired of just having to get a torch out, check the trees before I jump in the car on the way home.
I had a friend who found one in their bed. Drop bear.
Found a damn drop bear.
Straight into the bed. Imagine that shit. Wow,
that's a bed bear.
It's safe to say they were straight to the emergency room.
Yeah. I'll strip the bed bear after that.
Alright, Fez, quickly wrap it up. Fez, wrap us up with the drop bears. Epidemic, what do you think about it? Drop bears. And is Australia dangerous? To be honest, that's what people tweet to hear your answers to the questions.
Alright, well,
care about us.
I have no idea what the hell drop bears are.
Have you never seen a drop bear? Man, watch the news, for God's sake.
You don't know what a drop bear is. How long have you lived
here? My whole life.
Okay, well, is Australia dangerous to you?
Nah. You're one of the lucky ones.
Let's move it on, shall we? Let's announce our winner for our competition. After that somber moment, let's have a... And the winner is... Mark Mitchell.
Hooray!
Well done, Mark.
Mark.
Alright, so just explain again. I'm just... What's going to be happening in episode 13? 30. Is that 13? 30.
Well, before we do that, Fez.
Yep.
You inconsiderate bastard. Let's read out his... I mean, it's only fair to read out what won,
shall we? Yeah, let's read out the winning response.
All right.
Yeah, so everyone had to send something in to be part of the competition, and we judged on what we thought was the best and what would make the best, podcast next. So, Fez, you can read out his...
Dear gang, I'm writing to you... Explain why I'm the person to have the one-on-one with Fez with you in the background. It was me that accused you guys of the essentially and basically overuse. We didn't exactly get off on the right foot. But over time, I think we have developed a Twitter association with my insightful questions to be on the level ground. In regards to the one they call Fez, I've developed a series of questions for Fez that will expose him for the person that he really is. Pick me, cunt, and let's have a chat. Kind regards. Well, you're on, Mark Mitchell.
Ooh, so that's it. It's going to be a showdown between long-time listener and great contributor to the show, Mark Mitchell, and Fez. And we'll be seeing in the background, so when Fez is shit, there's some entertainment value.
Yeah. Not just white noise on there.
Yeah. But the idea is, so Mark will prepare questions. Mark, feel free to prepare some segments as well. It's your show, basically. Okay. It's Mark's show. And we'll just be there to back it up.
Cool.
So episode 30, the Mark Mitchell special. If you want to be a part of the show in the future and get our good books, tweet us at twitter.com/goodfriends. Letter and Fez, or check us out on facebook.com/goodfriendsandfez. Hit us up with a question. Any topic's all good. Hit it up privately if you wish. That seems to be the trend these days. And thanks a lot for listening, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Well, you're going to take us out first.
Do I have to?